Episode 159 of the podcast. We're here. We're back.
Hey, y'all. New week, new episode. We are live and direct. How y'all doing?
Live and direct.
How y'all feeling? I think this week is going to be good.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sunday was nice. It was needed. Mm-hmm. In the house by 7. Ooh, blessings.
Mm-hmm.
Blessings. But yeah, Sunday was cute. Good start to the week. Good vibes, good vibrations, catching up with people. That's what you got to kind of live for nowadays, you know? Mm-hmm. Setting the tone and keeping the, I don't want to say vibe. I feel like vibe got to retire, though.
Why?
It's so overused.
Motion? That's been out for a while.
Motion is cute.
It's been out for a while.
Keeping the motion, building the motion.
Or it was like, you ain't got no motion. Like, when they
ain't got no motion.
Yeah.
They ain't got it.
Mm-mm.
Can you get it? Not at this age.
Yeah, you can.
You could get motion at this age.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't got...
You gotta evolve yourself.
If you ain't got it at 32, you can get it at 42.
Yeah, you can.
Mm-hmm.
You have to just...
That's a mind state.
Yeah.
You gotta speak to it. Mm-hmm. You gotta live it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Live it.
I'm calling out a good week, because last week was trash.
Mm-hmm.
It was ass.
Yes.
So when I say it, we're going to manifest it. We're going to put it out there.
Manifest it.
Money comes to me freely and abundantly. That's not the same, but same thing. I gets money. What song is that?
50 Cent.
Yeah. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, he's actually on our timeline, on our outline today. Mm-hmm. But we'll get to that a little bit later. What is your song mood for this beautiful upcoming week?
I honestly, like, I have to think, like, I don't even,
let me go look at Apple Music real good.
I'm trying to think. Honestly, just skip me, because I have to have my phone for it. Really, I don't know what it is.
I promise you, I don't know what my,
I don't know. Like, it's on the tip of my tongue, but I need to see it.
I don't know if we talked about Kalani's After Hours single that came out with the
yeah, I don't like that.
Girl. You don't like the song?
Mm-mm. I don't like it.
I like it. Mm-mm. I heard Shaq play it a couple times too. It is gimmicky. Right. It's gimmicky, but it's okay. A single. I think singles are supposed to be songs that are catchy, mm-hmm. but I don't know if they're supposed to be loved because they're trying to fit the stigma of being likable for everybody. Okay. And I think singles too are songs that even if you don't like it first round,
yeah,
it's something that's gonna catch on.
And I don't really like all of Kalani's songs, so
no, not all. I know there's a distinct project that I just wasn't feeling.
Which from her. One? The blue?
No, I love that one. The blue when she's in front of the beach.
Yeah,
love that one. And you know my joint, the one that came out during COVID. Mm,
she's looking over the
yeah, face. That 2020. Mm-hmm. That was a good year for albums.
Yeah,
I keep saying that. I forgot it was something before. I think it was before the 2020 album, but I don't remember the name. And she only has one song. It's an album where she has one song in it that I like. Is with Music Soul Child. It's the
old, I know what you're talking I about. Love that I don't song. Remember. I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
I love that song, but the mm-hmm. album itself, not really okay. for me. Not really
I know what you're
me.
Talking about.
But you know, because mm-hmm. Apple Music, it has it in their spatial yeah. rotation. I feel like she paid to keep that song in rotation because mm-hmm. it always comes on with my R&B. But I don't really have a mood. I know a lot of new music has dropped. A lot of artificial intelligence songs have been popping up on the internet. And we have made mention about this ongoing rap beef, rap war,
mm-hmm.
World War III, Crusaders of the Night, of the bars, whatever the fuck you want to call it, for like probably the last 3 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas I was getting excited and I was getting hyped during the week, over this past weekend has just let me know. I think I'm officially over it. I don't know. And I'm not gonna lie. With this whole thing, I know who is my big three.
Right.
And I think everybody's big three is different. And even if those niggas in the big three don't want to say they in the big three, it's a big three.
Yeah.
It's J. Cole, it's Drake, it's Kendrick. Now, whatever order you want to put them niggas in, It's subject. It's whoever speaks to you. It's
whoever you listen to. Your big for rapping?
Yeah, no, for the their big, class that when they came out. They came. All three of them came out around the same time. Okay. So class. They were the elite out of that class. Oh, yeah, and a lot of people will sit there and then they will put Future as number four. Even though when them niggas really popped off, Future already had notoriety. Yeah. It's just that he was trying to go on that pop lane and he said, no, I'm taking it back to rap. Mm-hmm. And he cut that shit off. So Future's right there at number four. Mm-hmm. But personally, my big three out of those three, it's going to be Drake, Cole, Kendrick. It used to be Cole, Drake, Kendrick. But over the years, some of Cole's projects lost their peak for me. Mm-hmm. And I gravitated towards Drake's catalog because it's just, it has better playback value.
Yeah.
I'm not playing back certain J. Cole songs, even though he's my favorite rapper of all, one of my favorite rappers of all time. But Kendrick, I love Good Kid, Mad City. Damn was a little bit too commercial for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not even mad at To Pimp a Butterfly, but I'm not going back and listening to a lot of Kendrick's music.
I know, I'm not.
This last album, I don't even, like Mr. Morale, I don't even remember listening to it. But Drake dropped his diss track for Kendrick, Push Ups. I love it. It's nasty. It's shit talking. It's nasty. You're going there. I love how the niggas spill tea when they battling. Mm-hmm. Like, y'all so.
Spill the tea.
I get cunty with it. I like that. I like it. Like, tell me that nigga business. Dirty Mac on a mic. You know, love
Drake
it.
Will.
And he will. And he goes there. And he's battle tested. And he fucking raps his ass off when he's under pressure. I keep saying that I want, if you're reading this, it's too late, I want Angry Drake back because that's when you get your best rapping from him.
Shit,
granted, he says, anything. He called me out on the Scary Hours, the Deluxe to That Stupid for the Dogs album. He had five songs that he brought out afterwards, and one of them was talking directly to the bitches, saying why Drake can't rap like this no more. And I feel like that was a personal dig at me because I went the off on him on my album review.
Could have been.
And I feel like he heard it. If you listen to Joe Budden Pie, you listen to me, because I was yelling the same way. I said the same thing. I'm gonna let you get that one, Drizzy. I'm gonna let you get that one. Mm-hmm. Neither here nor there. He said he not doing that no more. That's good and fine. But I like when niggas call him out, because he don't back down. Even if people want to sit there and say he lost to Pusha T, he doesn't back down from a battle. But then I guess he's giving Kendrick time. He's been antagonizing him. He wants to come out. But that motherfucking Saturday comes. And I wake up to not even just Drake, but motherfucking Chris Brown went back at Quavo. And I know for an R&B nigga, and Chris Brown can rap. He has that ability. But an R&B nigga just wilding the fuck out like that. That last line, I'm sorry. That might be the empath in me. Don't bring my dead cousin up. We gonna fucking fight, nigga. Quavo don't have to respond to him. I don't think he should. I feel like you're going back with an R&B nigga that likes to rap sometimes, and he bringing up your dead cousin. I don't think there's nothing that you can gain from it.
So that way
I didn't like Quavo's track before. I definitely didn't listen.
What did he say?
He dropped the whole song to Chris Brown.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You were beating on you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I commend Chris Brown for. Chris Brown don't give a fuck. You talk about me, he's gonna go for
he's
your jugular.
He's always been calling Quavo out, though. I've been seeing
clips. I love the compilation.
On TikTok. Yes.
Every time about some basketball shit.
Yes. Every time.
Quavo bitch ass. Like, why?
And they literally did not like each other, and they were sitting next to at the fashion show.
He said he
like,
wanted to punch.
Crazy.
He said he wanted to grab his throat.
He did a really good job.
That's composure.
That it, girl.
That's growth from what we've seen from Chris Brown. Bitch.
Literally sitting right next to. Look, can you imagine sitting right next to somebody that you don't fucking like?
Could you work with somebody that you don't? I think I've asked you this, though. Could you work with somebody or do something for money with somebody that you don't like or respect just to get that bag? Because he said it was for the bag.
Sorry. It depends on what it is that they did.
Yeah.
Like, if I feel like they're a bitch or whatever, or
if they're annoying or something, I don't care.
But, like, it depends on, like, you know, like, what they did. But, hell yeah, like...
You can't betray me, and then I'm going to get money.
It depends. It literally depends.
Because all money is good money. I'm
Chris
sorry.
Chris Brown got that bag. He said right there.
He said... And Chris Brown, and everybody's saying it, what's scary about the Quavo and Chris Brown beef is that Chris Brown will see that nigga and really do something.
Yes.
Like, he became a blood as an adult.
You have Brad to have a lot.
Oh, no. Why did you bring that up? I was dying.
The grad chapter.
Oh, if Twitter don't do nothing, it's going to give you a motherfucking joke. I appreciate that. But Drake he dropped another song, and I guess the name of that one is Taylor Made. Just pretty much him alluding to Kendrick having to pay Taylor Swift for his career or some shit like that. I didn't catch all the entendres in that one. And I'm going to tell you why. I listened to it once, 6:30 in the morning. I was very annoyed at the fact that I heard Tupac and Snoop Dogg on a track. And I knew it wasn't Tupac, and I knew it wasn't Snoop Dogg.
Mm-mm.
And I was annoyed by that. I was. I'm like, Drizzy, for me, you got that.
Mm-hmm.
You got that. He punched you, you punched back. Chin check, you... gut punch. But then I think he got a little too excited because people were like, okay, so if this is the motherfucking response, mm-hmm. then Kendrick, you gotta hurry up. And Drake said he got another one. He was feeling himself a little too much. He's mm-hmm. like, you know what, fuck it, I'm gonna fuck him up with this. And he tried to 8 Mile it. Bring up everything I know what you're gonna say about me. And talk about the young girls. And it's like, we're not about to let you side sweep the fact that you a nasty old nigga that likes young bitches. Like, you're not about to 8 Mile that. And I felt like it was weird.
I didn't listen to it. I heard clips of it, and I seen Snoop Dogg video. It was funny.
Snoop Dogg actually responded?
His reaction. He was just like, what the fuck?
I thought that was an old video.
No, he posted it. It's real. Because,
like, why am I in it? Why did you use Snoop Dogg's voice?
Maybe it's something that we don't know. And that's personal to Kendrick.
I don't know. They over here like, well, Kendrick did that shit with the Heart Part 5 where he's morphing his face AI with different artists, and nobody said anything about that. Because I feel like Kendrick took a more artistic turn with mm-hmm. it. He was rapping from the perspective of those rappers that are here now, or rappers that I respect and rappers that I lost. Like, talking about greed, gluttony, jealousy, all about that in that freestyle. Drake just was talking shit about Kendrick and trying to say everything that they could say about him in this battle. And then he put weird-ass AI Tupac and Snoop Dogg voices.
Drake.
You ain't want to call Snoop Dogg and see if he wanted to be on there? Because he know he wouldn't. West Coast ain't riding against West Coast.
Mm-mm.
I don't know. It was weird. I think he could have just left it at push-ups. And then this speaks to the shit that they keep saying that Drake is the one releasing all the AI Kendrick things. And I'm like... A lot of people saying that's strategic, that's smart. In a rap battle, I don't like the artificial shit within the battle. It's taken away from the genuineness mm-hmm. of it. Because I really want to get people's gimmicky. Fucking... Yeah, I really want to get people's songs.
Gimmicky.
But we're living in a new age, I mm-hmm. guess. But yeah, that Taylor Made one, I didn't like that. That can get buried.
Delete it, Drake.
Yeah, but I don't really have a song mood of the week. Mm-mm. I just been listening to old school shit. I'm mm-hmm. really on my Donnell Jones. That debut album from Donnell Jones. Ooh, Fine Wine. It's it's good. So maybe that is my song mood.
Donnell Jones.
That's a funny ass mood to have. What's your mood, Donnell Jones?
Donnell Jones.
Well, let's move on to my word of the day. And I heard this word and I was like, you know what? I heard this motherfucker in a minute. Dimwitted.
Mm-hmm.
People just be silly or stupid.
Mm-hmm.
Or stupid or silly. However you want to put it. Like,
mm-hmm.
I see a lot of dimwitted responses. People have very dimwitted mindsets. It's just like, you ain't smart.
Mm-hmm.
That's old school for y'all. I want to bring that one back.
You ain't smart.
Let's read more.
You ain't smart.
Let's read a little bit more. And whatever you want to read, magazines, newspapers. Do they still sell new? Yeah, they still sell
newspapers.
But like, when is the last time you seen somebody like walking around with a newspaper or reading a newspaper? Or even a magazine. That's a dying art form too.
Mm-hmm. People still read magazines.
I think they just use them for vision board parties.
Probably.
Like, I don't remember the last time someone was like, you've gone in the store, like a 7-Eleven or a corner store, and somebody, let me get an Ebony. Or Essence.
I wonder if people still get...
Reader's Digest?
People still get the subscriptions to their house. They probably do.
My aunt does. She get the Vogue. And then when you look at the price on the side, it's like $15 for a magazine. And she don't understand how they got her address because she never signed up for it. She's got a whole bunch of Zendaya and Beyonce covers at her house. Vision board party. Mm-hmm. It's going to be lit this year. I'm taking all them shits with me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, dim with it. Let that sink in. Let's get into I See You, Player. And we have two.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so first we have Cheryl Lee Ralph.
Yes, auntie.
Her son, Etienne Maurice, and her daughter, Ivy, Ivy Maurice, and their cousin, Marley Ralph, opened up Walk Good as a result of their experience organizing wellness meetups during the 2000s social justice reckoning. So basically in LA, they have like a wellness studio. And it's black owned, and you know, it's something new. So I just wanted to give them a shout out because they was working on that for a very long time.
That's good that you brought light to that because I did not hear about that. Mm-hmm. But I mean, would I really, depending on what's popping up on the algorithms? So I'm glad that we definitely got to showcase that. That is something I'm going to look into, see a little bit more research about. I love anything Cheryl Lee Ralph. That's my auntie in my head. Like, we related. She don't know that.
What?
But it don't matter. She my auntie. So I should be able to, I should be able to go to her kid's studio for free.
You should.
It's family. Mm-hmm. I'll be shining it out right here on this publication. Talk to us. Hey.
Sorry.
Got that monster out.
Okay, next up is 50 Cent opens up G-Unit Studios in, is that what?
Shreveport, LA. That is interesting.
And I saw the, they have pictures of what it looks like, and that thing is fucking huge.
It looks like a whole community. It looks like a compound. It looks like a housing structure, if you want to be honest. Shout outs to 50 Cent for actually doing that. And then in Shreveport, because you know, Tyler Perry's down there. He did it. One of the first that we know, he did it in Atlanta. LA has a lot more roadblocks, a lot more redlining and just tape where they try to like keep certain people of a certain skin tone out of those type of ventures. So the fact that he did that in that location in fucking Los Angeles, the movie capital of the world. Let's be real. Movie and TV shows are cultivated and built in that and over there in that state. So shout out to 50 Cent for getting that done. First black man, I believe. Because I don't know about any other black owned TV production studios or anything like that.
Yeah, so LA, right?
Right there, that's a feat in itself. So he putting on legacy and building a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. What? You don't like 50?
I don't like stepping on. If we're gonna give highlight to certain people within this segment, I don't want to step on them. You know, because it doesn't come from a good place. I just want to give light to the good that the accomplishments that these people have done.
What? You don't like 50?
I don't care for him. In any way, shape, or form, I support his shows. Clearly, because I'm still watching BMF, and that shit is just disgusting. It's just bad. They don't care anymore.
They should just get rid of that. Like,
I don't know about getting rid of it. I just, let's move along the storyline so we don't have to keep going back into this immature-ass plot that they have with when it comes to Meech and Terry in the younger years. Let's see what BMF is, what everybody got introduced to when Rick Ross and them started talking about him. Let's get to that point, because this back and forth Atlanta Detroit shit that they got going on, it's just really bad. It's really bad acting. It's a really bad storyline. I don't know if they even doing like third and
that
fourth.
That girl
takes
on there kind of bothers me too.
Which one?
The one
that looks like a child. She looks 12.
No, Braxton. Remember, you know that's Braxton from Jamie Foxx show. Her.
Braxton is great. He always gonna play evil. He's been doing evil since the '80s. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna say, right? She plays his daughter in the show. I'm not gonna say what people have been saying on Twitter. I'm not gonna say that.
What?
I'll tell you after. Oh. This is cancelable. You get canceled for the shit they've been saying.
Oh, the on BD Twitter. Word.
Yeah, they've been saying a lot.
Okay, BD word.
The D word.
Yeah.
Which, we don't need her. She can get these.
She aggravates me.
She is the worst part of that show.
The worst part of the show.
It is. It's like you're trying to be evil, and it just comes off as silly.
And annoying. Yeah,
it's silly. You're a
nuisance.
When
I seen it, I was like, "Ew!" I'm like, "What is it?" I know I'm still on. I'm just start. I'm just
don't matter. It gets worse.
I'm like, "Ew!"
You're like a fly,
a gnat
that you can't fucking kill, and she has to go. I don't want to see her again. By the time I catch up and I finish these two episodes, I don't want to see that bitch no more.
Don't you hate characters like that? It's like nasty. Ew, like,
they said Lamar at least grew on us. This bitch is growing on us. Like, she is horrible. She's bad. She bad for business. In and out of the show. But, I don't know. I've never seen her before a day in my life. So, I don't know if she's been in anything else. And it's not even that her acting is bad. It's just that she's... It's so forced with her being this evil villain character, and it's not reading right on the screen. It's really bad. It's really bad. So, needless to say, you know what? But 50 Cent gonna keep stars from going under, and that's a lot for one man to do that.
Now he keep canceling his shits.
Well, Power Book had to go. There is nothing else that they could talk about with Tariq and. The white boy. What was his name again?
Brayden.
There's nothing that they could talk about. Mm-hmm. There's nowhere to take that storyline. We've got family drama. We got Mary J. Blige wanting to kill her daughter. We got the father dying. We got gay love. Basketball. He was supposed to kill him. He never did. Mm-hmm. We got everything. We got Woody over here fucking with Tariq ex-girl. Effie turning her back on. We've gotten everything that we can get. The show needs to end.
Today was too expensive. I said, y'all kept putting them in fly shit.
But then they was listening to TikTok and Twitter and going they outside the fashion.
They fucking fucking fire.
They was... I told you already. I had to take it back. I didn't like all the pieces maybe styled together. Mm-hmm. But there was some shit. They'd be like, God damn, where'd you get that jacket from? Mm-hmm. Where you get that from? Mm-hmm. I'm mad at it. But if you want to sit there and put all of your budget into the fashion for the show and not... And not letting your actors know when they show canceled, and they gotta find out on Twitter.
50 Cent answer his phone. That's why he ain't know.
So nigga, if you would answer when I called you, you wouldn't know you was getting fired. Mm-hmm. That's a bad way to go, bro. Mm-hmm. But I'm just gonna stick to the shows that's out. Well, when is Power Book coming back out?
June.
Okay.
I think June. I think that's what it said.
Like I said, I'm here for Raising Kanan. I think they got renewed for at least two more seasons. And that storyline is just... It's getting juicy. Mm-hmm. And they got heavy hitters on there. They got people that can actually act.
Yeah.
So I'm not mad at that. I'm here for it. But let's get into our breakdown. This first one... Introduce this one to me, Jazz. Okay. What are we talking about here?
Says... I think men are having a tough time with the way women have evolved. Women are no longer desperate for marriage, no longer need your money, etc. The only thing that's going to hold a modern day woman is integrity, like a real good man. Mm-hmm. And then a guy commented under and said, men are having a tough time with not being able to impose their will so effortlessly and shamelessly as they've been able to for thousands of years. I say good on women rising up and becoming more of who they want to be without a man putting an unhealthy attachment to them. So do you think do you agree that men are having a tough time with women being so evolved about how we
are? I've been saying this shit for the last I've been saying this shit for the out loud I've probably been saying it for the last 3-4 years. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think a lot of men are like having a tough time with it. Like, it's just a lot.
And a lot of people, I think, would, a lot of men, even some women, would probably look at this man's response and be like, oh, you're pandering.
Yeah.
You're gassing it up. But no, it's an observation. When you see something and you actually feel happy or you feel good for somebody sitting there and choosing themselves, There's nothing wrong with saying it. I don't think he's pandering, even though I think that's probably the consensus of people that's going to be under this post. Mm-hmm. Needless to say, I say all the time, it's not even the aspects of women not wanting marriage. Because I see it all the time, and I see it every day. Women are asking for romance. They're asking for consideration. They're asking to find partners, whether the goal be marriage. A lot of women are sitting there and they're saying, I'm dating intentionally. I don't want you in my face unless you're coming like this. And they're setting forth what they want. The biggest thing is that they never used to set forth what they want, period. Mm-hmm. It used to be, well, I'm going to go with what he says, or I'm going to just take whatever and I'm going to settle because society tells me that I just need to be with somebody. Yeah,
that's correct.
So, yeah, I don't think men are handling the fact that women have been doing the work and are continuing to do the work when it comes to themselves and what they want. See? The sirens now. She's spitting. It just makes sense. Like, what have you seen?
They're having a tough time. I mean, they can't, they like even like from personal experience, they can't handle it. And, you know, especially when it comes to when the woman really doesn't really need the guy, you know, like for anything that really gives them, you know, like a really tough time. But I think women, we have become more self efficient, you know, where, you know, became more smarter, you know, just like working our way up in the work world, you know, being, you know, top bosses of businesses.
Yeah.
Like, I know a lot of women in tech were taking over tech.
Maybe.
Taking over, like, account, like, a lot of things. Like, a lot. And I'm seeing a lot more, you know, like, women, women doctors, like, dentists. I'm seeing just a lot more. Like, we're just, you know, we're becoming more, you know, more present. We were always there, but I feel like it's more out loud and, you know, it's more in, you know, in everybody's face. And I think that kind of like trips men up because they know we can be, you know, well off.
Yeah.
Without them.
I think they are lost on the concept of us not needing them on the provider aspect. And even all of that what you said is true, but I don't even want to get stuck on the point of us just dominating the workforce in different jobs and different things and different career paths. Like, we've been doing that. Mm-hmm. And honestly, if we're being truly honest, a lot of women were forced into doing that. A lot of women weren't the independent woman. A lot of people, they were the homemakers. They were the tastemakers. They didn't necessarily want to have to go and be the career woman that is so prevalent now. But when you gotta survive and you gotta make do for yourself because a lot of things are happening within the household or your infrastructure and the black family dynamic is being broken, then if I don't do it, nobody else is gonna do it. And we know we are resilient to a fault.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes down to it, I think that men, besides that, I don't even think it's on the aspect of just being a financial provider. Like, we don't need them there. I think that they're more upset at the fact that we're asking them to be evolved on an emotional level.
Yeah.
And a lot of them have never been taught to do that.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them don't want to do the work to do that. It's too much responsibility to actually dig deep into yourself and be better. And it's just easier to be complacent, to stay angry, to stay fucking depressed.
I think a lot of women speak more out loud. Like, they, you know, speak up, you know, their feelings and what they, you know.
Yeah. Like, I can go out with somebody, and because of the time that I've taken to cultivate my self-awareness, know who I am, and the allure to want to get better on an emotional standpoint, I can tell when a nigga is angry or when he is a high-functioning depressive and things of that nature. But God forbid I say that to him, or God forbid I suggest that he should want to do better for himself on an emotional standpoint, not just to be in a relationship with me, but to overall save your mental capacity with the years to come in this world. Like, we've said it on here, life is short, and life is short, but life can be very long.
Yep.
And wouldn't you want to just be present in this world with more clarification and more clarity of who you are emotionally, your vulnerabilities? Who, like, what are you really out here doing? so that you, besides being better for somebody else, because yes, a lot of the callous of why people go and they try to, is something that happened to them from somebody else, something that somebody brought to their attention, trying to be better for somebody else. That can be your reasoning, but overall, you should want to be a better person for you. Mm-hmm. Men have never had to deal with that responsibility before.
No.
And I don't know. I could play devil's advocate and I could say that it's not pushed towards them. I could say that they advocate for women to do more. I could say it's again the agenda men to keep them, certain mm-hmm. men, if we're talking about black men, to keep them in a certain realm of disparity, anxiety, mm-hmm. stress, and all of that from their counterparts, because it makes sense. Black women are already out of here on that tenfold evolving them. They're not mm-hmm. going to regress. Mm-mm. But if we can keep men complacent and make sure that they don't ever progress, mm-hmm. then we don't have a problem. We'll at least marginalize them so they'll always be at odds with one another. So I get exactly what she's saying. Women have evolved. Mm-hmm. And we're going to continue to evolve. And I don't think that there should be any guilt surrounded by us asking our counterparts, I'm talking to black men. There is no guilt in us asking black men to evolve with us.
Nope.
And if they don't want to, if they want to be stuck in their ways, then we got to leave them behind. Mm-hmm. That's why they said we got to date the white boys.
Mm.
And the Asians and the Indians. They said, for black women, if we crave companionship for real, we got to broaden our horizons.
Yeah. I'm open. I've never said, I've always
you said. You ain't that. Never said you was open.
I
ain't never said that before.
I never said that I was strict. I would only date a black man. I've never said that. I'm open.
I ain't never heard you say that you.
I said that on this podcast. I'm not strict.
It's not judgment. I'm just shocked because I've never heard it. Or maybe I didn't want to retain that information.
Well.
That was judgy. Mm-hmm. That was judgy. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry. Because I would, if you get you a nice little.
What?
A little macchiato, little
what
Americano.
Is that?
You know how it's like black?
And then macchiato?
You
put,
yeah, you ever seen an Americano? Like it's with the white foam and stuff in it. Mix it up, biracial. Mm-hmm. The swirl.
Sasha.
You want to get your swirl on?
Girl.
Like my jacket?
Hmm.
Black and white, baby. Hmm. I don't know why I'm jumping to white. There's other, Indian. That's like a Reese's peanut butter cup.
Asian. Well, they are Asian, but.
Yeah, I don't really know what that.
I mean, like.
No. I know, don't.
Vietnamese. Who knows?
Japan.
Japanese. Samoan. Who knows?
Molly did her thing with that Asian guy. He was cute.
Mm-hmm. So you never know.
He's cultured, though. Yeah, practice over here in these parts. Huh. It's so touchy, though. It's so touchy to... I just want black men to get it together.
And I'm not waiting around for it.
But so I can.
Whatever catch me catches me.
Where am I even going to find me a little white boy?
Who knows?
See, and I'm calling him a little white boy. I'll flip. I don't respect him. I got to work on that. Mm-hmm. How am I supposed to venture out into other races and I don't even respect the process of doing so? Like, I don't respect it.
Well, don't do it.
I won't do it. I think there's a nice...
Stick to the niggas.
I think it's a nice 5'10 brown skin nigga with a beard and thick thighs out there for me.
Sure.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
I'm being for real. I'm being real.
No, you're not.
Sure.
Like, go ahead, bitch. Have fun.
Good luck getting in the talk.
That's not all of them. You cannot do that. Men are not a monolith.
They're dimwits.
Yeah, majority. And that's all races. Mm. Not just black. Now let's move on. Mm. We get into racial disparities and shit. And I still get real Dr. Umar in this motherfucker. Men telling me that they want to become billionaires gives me the maddest ick. Maddest?
Maddest.
Are you a UK girly?
Maddest
ick. I think so. Mm-hmm. Maddest ick. You hear that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The quotes are so slow. You cannot be a billionaire ethically, which means if you want to be a billionaire, that says a lot about your character. Men with ambition give her the ick. No. Men with hearts full of greed give her the ick. People who love money too much lack substance. Simple. Do you agree or disagree? This one right here,
I guess. Kind of like yes and no.
We could, like, I kind of like, maybe you could always 50-50 it.
I think I'm 50-50 because I didn't, when I'm reading the original thing, I'm not getting it as men with ambition give her the ick.
I kinda, so no, people are in the comments conflating what she's saying.
I kind of get like what she, you know, like what she's saying. Maybe the men that are like delusional. I don't know. Not delusional.
Mm-hmm.
You know those get money, make money. You know those make money niggas that.
From what I'm getting, what I'm getting from it is, if you aspire to be in a certain task bracket, to be in a certain percentile in class, mm-hmm. in this country or in general in the world, there is no ethical way for you to get there.
Yeah.
When we talk about the Warren Buffetts, the Jeff Bezos, the richest people on the planet, we don't know all of their dirty secrets, but we know mm-hmm. that ethically they have done some shit to get to that space. You have to cut off heads. You got to dibble in some type of teetering the line of it being criminal or mm-hmm. not. Like, you have to get to it. And it mm-hmm. reminds me of the show Billions with Axelrod. He was an evil motherfucker. Mm-hmm. He made his fortune off of 9/11. Like, literally people dying. He was, in hindsight, like a terrorist. Like, if you want to get into the specifics of how he mm-hmm. built his whole entire empire. And it's like, ethically, when you even watch all of these shows, like, did you ever watch, what's that show that everybody loved? It was on HBO. It's not coming to me right
Sopranos.
Now.
Sopranos.
But, I mean, even that. Ethically, he was, what they were the mob.
HBO?
It just finished. And it had the old man, it had the Succession.
Okay, no.
The old billionaire man with the TV company. Mm-hmm. The way that he literally played mental Olympics with his children, and he was just unethically, he was a piece of shit too. Like, it teeters. She's like, men that tell me they want to be billionaires, you like to hear that. It sounds good. There's a certain amount of ambition that you know you're going to get from this person. Mm-hmm. But then ethically, what is that person willing to do to get to that point? Yeah. And that's what she's saying. That gives her the ick.
Yeah.
But a lot of people were taking it as, oh, so you just want a lazy nigga that don't want to work. She never said that.
Yeah.
She doesn't
That's take a lot to get to be a billionaire.
Exactly. But like, on that way up. And then, granted, anybody, I heard a quote a long time ago is, there people who continuously say they want to be successful end up being successful. Mm-hmm. Now, everybody's measure of success is different. It's subjective. Mm-hmm. So you can sit there and say, I want to make sure by 35, I am making mid-range six figures. Mm-hmm. And you're happy, you're content, you're wealthy with that. There's going to be somebody that says, I could never be that. That's poor for me. I need to be making at least $5 million a year. Mm-hmm. Then you get into that top percentile of people when you're going into the millionaires and the billionaires and things of that nature. Money and things, motherfucking worlds, I can't relate to.
Right.
But I understand it because when you hear these stories and you talk to these people, like Jay-Z's a billionaire. You don't think Jay-Z's done some unethical shit? And that's my nigga. I love him. One of my favorite rappers. But I know to get to the place that you are, especially being a black billionaire, you gotta play some real dirty.
Yeah.
Cause we're not even allowed. They don't want us nowhere near those circles.
Right.
So I get the aspect of wanting somebody with ambition, a go-getter, a hustler, we shall say. But you have to really look into what is that person willing to do to get to a certain point.
But the thing
point,
about it is,
and does it sit well with you?
I really don't need more, but
okay.
When the girl was like, people who, when she was like, no, no man with hearts full of greed. No, she said, no, men with hearts full of greed give her the people who, like, I need to know, like, the basis of, like, the conversation that the girl is having about, like, with the men, are the men that are saying they want to be billionaires. You know what I'm saying? What is their verbiage, you know what I'm saying, around it? Because,
okay, so then that's gonna call me to speculate, but I speculate.
No, I'm just saying because she said no men hearts full of greed, like, so are, like, how do maybe we know? They're
coming. I don't know if she knows the insides of it. And of course, we're not going to know the specifics.
I know, but I'm just Twitter. Saying. But like, then she went. I'm just,
it's a tweet. But no, the people in the comments, yeah, though. They, her saying that men saying that they want to be billionaires give her an ick. That's her personal opinion. She put it out there.
Yeah.
Of course, once you put some shit out on social media, it's subject mm-hmm. to anybody to comment on. But she doesn't like it. Maybe she's having conversations with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that, when she's talking to them, everything is fueled by greed. Everything is money talk. Everything is, I'm going to do this to get the bag, to get the dollar, to get the dollar. And it's a difference. You know the difference between a nigga that's sitting there and he's getting to his mm-hmm. bag and somebody that's hell go just obsessed with the dollar sign. Mm-hmm. Like, you know that difference. It's nasty to watch. Mm-hmm. They'll put their family, they'll put anything, every and anything. Yeah,
for money.
Above money, and not just to keep it, just for the status of it. I want to be able to say that I can do this and I can have that. It comes off arrogant. It comes off vain. So I think that's maybe what she's saying is, like, she's seeing a pattern with these men being greedy and their verbiage being nasty. Probably when she goes out with them, they have this I'm better than everybody type of attitude, right. And it gives her the ick. Like, I get that to a certain extent, but I mean, how everybody took it.
No, that's what the girl that responded said.
I think she was trying to stick up for the girl because everybody else maybe was in the thread saying, well, you don't want a real nigga. You don't want a nigga that gets money. So if you don't want somebody that's going to be a billionaire, then you need to back off or you need to leave them out here for the rest of us.
Okay, yeah.
And it's just like she just shared her preference.
And people get so upset by people's preference. Like, that's why sometimes you gotta turn off the damn comment. People still can't retweet, can't quote it.
No, leave it up there so people can argue with themselves. The thing is, I don't give a fuck what I put out there.
Yeah.
You can have a comment. Now, if I feel like saying something back to you, I will. But majority of the time, I'm going to leave you talking to yourself because I said what I said.
Yeah.
It is what it is. Like, it's my opinion. But I do understand. I don't like when people, it's a contradiction for me. I'm going to be completely and utterly honest. Mm-hmm. I love somebody that is ambitious. I love somebody that is a go-getter. I love somebody that's a hustler. Because all of those characteristics speaks to you never wanting to be complacent, always wanting to do more. But I don't like overly arrogant, showing off niggas that just be like, I got to get this. I got to do it. I'll do it by any means necessary. Because what if it's weird. Some real sick shit for you to become a billionaire? Mm-mm. And then I have to look at myself morally. What can I handle?
Mm-hmm.
What if your nigga got to kill people to become a billionaire?
Mm-mm.
Are you going to hide the bodies?
Mm-mm.
What if you got to be into some real weird, freaky ass, nasty shit that a lot of these higher that's been alluded to doing? Like if it's on some Jeffrey Epstein shit. Is he willing to sell kids?
That's my exit out.
Y'all sex trafficking? Like, some people don't care. They'll do anything when it comes to money. And I'm sorry, me having a moral compass and having standards for how I want my partner to move, I'm allowed to have that.
Mm-hmm.
So I get what Shreddy is saying. And her opinion is her opinion. Period. But it's very interesting. But let's chat. I've been seeing this pop up. It's been like a pattern in different things I've been listening to.
Mm-hmm.
I always hear women always have a backup plan or never put all your eggs in one basket.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on both sides, men and women. But contingency plans in relationships. Do you think that they are needed? And when do you think you should cut the plan off if you have one?
What, the sirens?
The sirens been ringing this whole episode because they know episode. Some shit.
Okay, so I seen this thing. that I was going to say for next week, but it actually ties into that. I seen this tweet, and it was a screenshot from, I guess, some girl on Facebook. Uh-huh. And she basically was like, she got married to her husband or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he ended up, losing his job or whatever. Mm. And so basically he ended up being broke. So she filed for divorce. And she said, because when we got married, you know, you took vows to, you know, care, you know, like provide.
I don't think they did better or worse.
That's what Tommy said. She didn't hear that part. But she was saying that was her contingency.
Okay.
I was like, oh.
She said, she did what she wanted to do. Damn. She just did that? She didn't wait for him to get, at least try to get another job?
Nope. She says, deuces.
Shit.
So she's getting a divorce. Mm. Mm. She says she know what she wants. She says, I'm a beautiful woman. I'm smart. People be a little slow sometimes.
I'm not telling anybody to sit there. I always advocate the fuck the struggle of. I'm not telling nobody to sit there.
No struggle
love. No struggle love. But I be talking about that with the whole toxicity wars, that those trials and tribulations that can be avoided in relationships if you dealing with a real nigga or you dealing with a real bitch. Like, that's what I'm talking about when it comes to that. The man lost his job. I don't know if you just up and divorce him. To me, it feels like she never fucked with him like that.
Girl.
I think that her love was based and it was contingent upon him bringing in a certain amount of
shout
paper.
Shout out to everybody. I had fun. She was out.
Well, I'm talking about the motherfuckers that walk around and they got somebody in the cut or they got somebody that they can play house with if their relationship don't work out. Like people that have real life people as contingency plans. Backups or back burners. They say women always have somebody in the cut. They have a nigga. Even if you go on a break with a guy, women always have somebody that could just pick up. They could pick up the phone. They could text real quick. And that person will come running.
Mm-hmm.
I feel as if you go into relationships with contingency plans. And I'm talking about committed relationships. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about y'all dating. I'm not talking about maybe being exclusive and not cutting everybody off in a certain way. Y'all are together. Yes. If you walk around with a backup, I think that that's always going to be lingering in the back of your head. And I feel
it's
like
kinda weird.
It's a black cloud over your relationship, even if you don't always see it.
Because that means you are preparing.
You're preparing for the worst.
For the worst. You are preparing for us to break up.
Yeah. Like, even if you want to bring it back to it being contingency plans and being financial. Like, some people would sit there and say that a prenup could be looked at as a contingency plan.
I'm like, all for it.
Just in case. But I think that's just a means of being smart. I think that is two people advocating for what they brought into the marriage and making sure that money doesn't have to be fought about. Property and assets are probably going to be discussed depending on how you divorce, but it could be lessened if you got a piece of paperwork. Yeah. Like, somebody can't come in and try to break this shit, break the prenup if... Listen, you did this. You didn't come in with this. Let's just walk out with what we got. I think that's smart planning. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to hear my niggas say he got a backup.
No.
I don't want to think about that. It's not, if we are going to be in a monogamous relationship, then we need to be
put
rocking.
Our best foot forward.
Look, why are we not choosing each other?
Choose each other and have, you know, faith and just, because you having that person in the cut is already, you're already... self-sabotaging. You're already...
That's exactly what that
you're
is.
Already
That's
planning
exactly
for...
what that is.
You know what I'm saying? Like, for it to fail.
I feel like... Even if I have a nigga that I could call... not even call. If I have a nigga that I could hit up and I know they'd be with the shits. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean that I'm keeping them on back burner. That doesn't mean I'm going to hit them up as soon as something happens. If... Say I know somebody that... might want me. Wouldn't care if I wasn't in a relationship or not. You're aware of it, but it doesn't mean that I'm going to act on it. It doesn't mean that that's my backup. That's my contingency. Mm-hmm. That's the person that I'm going to fuck around with while you are here or there. You might be coming back or you might not be coming back. Like, I think if I have a set person that's in my phone as a backup, anytime you mess up, I know exactly I'm going to dial. I would never do that.
Yeah.
Because that person's lingering in the background. Mm-hmm. And if it's that easy for you to switch up, and put your attention into that, after a breakup or a break or just a moment of discord in your relationship. Mm-hmm. Danette says a lot about where the fuck mm-hmm. y'all were on. It's not, I don't see foundation set there. I don't know. Right. I can't move like that. Mm-hmm. I can be very, I agree. I do believe that in the dating realm, I can be very narrow sighted. Like once I'm feeling somebody and I know they're feeling me, then I really don't see anybody else.
Right.
And I kind of need to take that tunnel vision off until somebody is actually showing me mm-hmm. something of more substance. However, but I'm in a relationship, I'm sorry. It needs to be tunnel vision. And you gotta have the same for me.
Yeah.
We hyper-focused over here.
Period.
And that's it. Mm-hmm. Unless we have discussed otherwise. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I'm not for the contingency plans at all.
No.
I feel like it's like you said, it's self-sabotaging.
Absolutely
not. It's a means to an end, baby. Mm. It ain't gonna work. Okay. And this one is, we got a game?
Not really a game.
Okay.
I saw it on this podcast. It's called We Sound Crazy. It's like a music podcast.
Okay.
It's four black guys, and they just talk, you know, they love, you know, music, and they just, whatever. Anyway.
Yeah, okay, I'm tuned into that. It's something, it seems wholesome. I need that in my life.
It is. They did a little game called Fine Wine or Age Like Milk. So basically, what is a song that is just like fine wine to you, that is just like a fine, like, you know, the best wine that you know, like, what is that song for you? And then Age Like Milk is what is a song that just like,
okay,
it just isn't, you know, it's just like, that, you know, that
is, do other people think that the song that Age Like Milk is good, or
it can be, or it doesn't matter. Okay, it doesn't matter. Okay. It doesn't have to, it doesn't matter. Mm. So what is your fine wine song?
Rock the Boat, Aaliyah.
Okay, Mariah Carey, You'll Always Be My Baby.
That's a classic.
That's like,
you'll always be a part of me.
It's like, she can sing. She mm-hmm. can, she sang on that song.
The vocal range that Mariah Carey had at that time, I feel like it gets more appreciated mm-hmm. with time. Like, it sounds better every time you hear it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a. Ooh, I'm about to play that in the car. Mm-hmm. I forgot about that one. Mm-hmm. Yes, but Rock the Boat. Mm-hmm. I've. Now it's my fine wine song. Thank you for making me realize that. But that's my feel good song. Mm-hmm. That song puts me in a good mood anytime I hear it. And I don't know if they remastered Aaliyah's album or something, but when I play it on the speaker through Apple Music, it sounds 10 times better from when it first came out. Okay. And I love that song from when it first came out. Obsessed with the music video, watched the making, watched it over and over. But when I play that shit now, for like the past year I've been playing mm-hmm. it just sounds mm-hmm. better every single time I listen to it. Like, I've literally gotten glasses of wine, and that's the first song that I put on. I'm just mm-hmm. in the living room mm-hmm. doing it. Two-step.
Like, it's just aged perfectly. Like, it never, like...
That shit, I think that's one of those songs that transcend time. Mm-hmm. Transcends time. Mm-hmm. Kids could be 3 years old right now. Yep. They hear that song, they're going to want to know it word for word. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Now, Age Like Milk, like the white people, that's how they age. Mm-hmm. Cottage cheese.
Mine, for me, is Shy. And If I Ever Fall. I hate that song. Like, when I hear, like, if we're out at an R&B party and they play it, I hate it.
You know they're going to play it.
I hate it.
You know they're going to play it at an R&B party.
And you know what's kind of up, you know what's kind of running close for it? People might think I'm crazy, but it's So For Real. Candy Coated. My love. Dude, I'm just.
That's so classic, though. People can just identify with that. Like, I think a lot of people know the first time they heard that song and what it did for them. I don't know if that one aged like milk. That might be a little harsh. That might be harsh.
And what's that other song they always, that one, who the fuck is it? What's that song with,
And if I ever.
I just hate it.
You know all the vocal guys, they have to sing that. It's the acapella. They love that shit.
And what's that group? What's the group? What's the what's that damn New Edition song? It's with the three of them that they always fucking play. Every R&B bar.
Poison?
Yes.
I don't know. I don't have to hear Poison.
I don't ever have to hear Poison.
That yeah. one, that could definitely be a contender. Mm-hmm. But I feel like these songs are like, they're solidified in some place of black culture. So I don't know if I could say they
age like it. Milk. I hate it.
And if I
am. I hate it.
I don't know. Maybe that's how I feel about Jodeci Feenan. But I could fuck the Feenan. And that's not coming off the playlist, so.
It's been an hour since you've been gone.
They said them motherfuckers was begging and she was.
I want. When is that movie coming out?
Jodeci's supposed to have a movie?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
I didn't know that. A biopic, like the new edition.
I don't know, but that Michael Jackson, that casting in that one. Every single person is spot on. The family?
Nia Long.
Yes.
Okay, mm-hmm.
But the motherfucking.
Michael?
Baby, cast. If they had an Oscar for a casting,
this one.
Give it to them. Everybody look like who they supposed to look like.
Do you think these people look more like how they supposed to look than American Dream, Michael Jackson family?
They were kind of close with American Dream too, and I think
they ate with that.
Yeah,
shit.
They were close, but listen, if they took a page from American Dream, then they did what mm-hmm. they were supposed to do because the casting is beautiful. But mm-hmm. yeah, you're right. They did do good with the first one. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Swag Surf. I hate that fucking song.
Oh, it's age like. I don't even do it like anymore. Shit. When it comes on, I don't even do it anymore.
I stand in the corner and I get really upset because I feel like, I know it's a DJ staple. It could be a party staple, but I even said it. I'm not going to lie. I tweeted it this weekend. I'm glad that you brought this up. If I'm out and I'm at a place that plays Swag Surf and Dreams and Nightmares, I shouldn't have been there. I don't need to be at a place that does those two. And Dreams and Nightmares, why they won't get it is because I just remember being in the club. I remember being in the club with both of these songs throughout. Mm-hmm. From the time they came out
to now. I feel like we hear that quite often, though.
Dreams and Nightmares isn't at the
age actually, of like I don't even hear it anymore, honestly.
Girl. I do remember the last time I heard it. And I was just like, you know when everybody used to get hype at the second part? Nobody. Mm-mm. Crickets. Silent. It doesn't have the same allure.
Yeah.
It just doesn't have it anymore. Mm-hmm. Swag Surf. To me, can die. Mm-hmm. Bury it.
I don't do it anymore.
I don't want to go anywhere where they're playing those two songs. Mm-hmm. Because those are places in areas I probably shouldn't
don't be. Don't even do it at homecoming. Mm-mm. I don't want to swag surf.
I don't touch homecoming. Me. Get off my shoulder. Get
I off. Don't.
I want to go to places that play Giveon and Snow Allegra and Summer Walker. Certain Summer Walker. Not the real, real sad shit. But I just want to hear something different. I want to hear what I put on my Apple playlist.
Well, you're going to have to DJ.
I mean, yeah.
You're going to have to DJ.
Or I have my own events. You know
they all have the same rotating song.
I know. And it was so funny because you seen the shit with Lotto when she was out in the club with Usher and Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
And they took Kevin Hart and they were like putting like all the DJ shit to it. Everybody from the Caribbean, put your hands up. XOXO. I was dying because that is exactly how they start every time.
Kevin Hart was funny as hell.
And shout out to the DJs that make that one fire mix and then every fucking DJ steals it from them and plays mm-hmm. it at the party. What I hate is when they have more than one DJ at a function and each of their sets are the same fucking God. It's like, no, fuck that shit. I was supposed to play Bent. You hear Bent 15 times in a fucking party. Because that... The 15 DJs, they gotta play that song. Like, if you don't go fucking find something else, give me some unreleased shit.
Go pull out the iPod.
Let's get the mixes. I will say this. I will humbly say, thank you, TikTok, for getting DJs back in their bags of mixing songs together. I love I love all the
mixes. I like watching DJs DJ on TikTok live. It's fun. I love it.
Mm-hmm. I do. I watched... For like 30 minutes, a whole reggae set. And they was getting it. They was giving shit from back in the day. Shit you don't hear nowhere else but in somebody's dirty ass sweaty basement. And I love that shit.
You know who DJ said you were like? Were like old school R&B music. Flex. Flex Alexander.
I gotta get back. I gotta, he's on TikTok?
Mm-hmm. And he always,
I'm gonna look for him.
He DJing. And then that's who, it's so funny. That's when... what's her name was when they was dating, they would go over their house and he would DJ like R&B night. What's it? April Jones and what's his name?
Oh, and
Tay Diggs.
Tay Diggs.
Yeah, they would go over to Flexing Them House and they would have like a, he would DJ the R&B night.
But Tay Diggs pissed me off just because I just hate the way that he's killed him off of All American. Back watching it. It just was horrible. Why are you
back watching
it? I'm not allowed to watch All American?
I thought you said you were never going to watch it again.
No, I said it that one episode because it was stupid. Why would you kill him off like that?
There's some pretty nice looking people on that show.
Beautiful.
That guy's still on there, the original.
And you know this.
What about his siblings? Were those his siblings?
No. He's dating the one girl. Listen. Love that.
He's dating his sister.
Well, it's not his sister. He's dating his best friend's sister. You know them shows, them CW shows, everybody date everybody. 90210, all of them. You know.
When is Bel Air coming back?
I don't know. I would have to go back and watch the second season to catch up.
Oh, you didn't watch the second season?
I stopped.
Marlon Wayans was on there.
Being a daddy. Mm-hmm. Lou. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back because Bel Air was good.
Mm-hmm. Bring back the good shows. No. Bring back the good shows.
No. DJs, get in your bag. And when we do step outside, give us something to fucking move to. You don't want people standing around and saying that the crowd was stiff. We want to make the stank face. We want to whine our waist. We want to be like, oh, shit. Mm-hmm. I want to stare at you and stand like this and just shake my fucking head. Say, boy, no the fuck you didn't. Mm-hmm. Girl, what are you doing? And be in complete awe about the beautifulness that you are transcribing in this motherfucking environment. Don't play no fucking swag surf. Come on, man.
Man, I got that swag.
Who the hell is from... Who did swag surf?
I don't know their names.
That's crazy. I never knew who did Swag Surf.
Definitely not the Franchise Boys.
I think I only gave swag for maybe even 2 years. I hated it. Like, don't be grabbing me. Like, don't grab me.
Because I swag and I surf.
You still like it. All right, miscellaneous question. Let's see which one you're going to pick. We got Lesser of Two Evils. Or These Are My Confessions.
Lesser of Two Evils.
Okay. I know these are my confessions. Isn't it I'm gonna get on up and say? I'm sorry. Ooh. Okay. Would you rather see a list of people who secretly hate you? Or would you rather see a list of people who secretly have crushes on you?
Crush. I want to know who's crushing on me. I don't give a fuck about nobody who hating on me. We ain't got nothing to talk about.
But what if... Because me just throwing a little...
What's done in the dark comes to the light.
What if it's somebody that you think has your best interest at heart, but they secretly hate you? What do you want to know so you can get that motherfucker up out your face and up out of your life?
God will reveal all.
Please do not get cryptic on me.
God will reveal all.
You sound like them motherfuckers that be doing the tarot cards on TikTok. Trying to read people their numbers. Oh, I'm so glad I got them off my...
Now it's I'm so mad. Glad
I got them on my algorithm with them number shits. And the zodiac charts.
I want to see my crushes.
You want to see your crushes? What you going to do with that information?
Hopefully somebody that I have a crush on.
But if you have a crush on me, why is it a secret? Why you didn't let me know?
People probably scared.
So you gonna bring them out of their show?
I sure will. Let's get the party started. Let's get the ball rolling.
Because I noticed you feeling me like I'm feeling you. So why don't we feel each other?
Period.
That was inappropriate. I'm sorry. Which one?
You would want to know your haters.
I don't know. I don't see them motherfuckers. Talking about. Like, I would want to know.
You would.
I don't know if I would want to know.
Yes, you would.
I don't think so. I'm being honest. I'd probably rather see my crushes. But I am going to give them a little bit of shit. Like, yo, if you was crushing on me, what's up? Like, I'm here. I don't bite unless you want me to. I got to stop sometimes. But, like, to know my haters, I kind of want to know.
Hi, haters.
I think I get why people would pick that they would want to know who the fuck hates on them. You want to know who you need to have around you. Maybe keep your enemies closer type of thing. Maybe it's somebody that you work with and you got to work with them. You might want to know if they hating on you, if they self-sabotage and shit, how you got to maneuver it. I get that, but it's like, what am I really going to do with the crushes? What if I don't like none of my crushes back?
I mean, oh well. Then we'll know how to maneuver. We can be like, oh, that's why he's been acting like that.
I'm not going to lie. I feel like that's whack as fuck if you got a crush on me and you're not letting me know.
Well, do you ever have a crush on somebody you don't let them know?
All the time.
That's whack as fuck. Those are the two options.
I never said I was right.
You have to pick.
I never said I was right.
You have to pick.
I think I would want to know my crushes.
Oh.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck who hit on me.
I want to know my crushes. Yeah. If a crush on me, hit me up.
I found out motherfuckers don't like me and they don't have no reasoning. And if you don't have a reason for why you don't like me, you are the Lulu.
You're in my DMs if you like me. Got a crush on me.
From DM to guts to heartbreak. Oh, that was cynical.
Damn.
It do be like that. I'm not saying going forward, I don't want it to be like that. But that has been, you know, my trajectory in the past. But I'm writing a new story, baby. We're making a novel over here, and it's gonna have a happy ending.
Damn.
Now I want to know my crushes. Let's see what we could do.
Know my crushes. Let me know. Hit me up.
Showing you.
Episode 159 of the podcast, starring your girl Jazzy and Sasha
and Rocky. But he left.
Make sure you guys like, subscribe, follow, share. Tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend.
Tell their mother.
Repost and us on TikTok while it's here.
And their daddy and brother.
Yeah, I'm really going to miss TikTok.
You think it's really going?
No.
They passed the bill again. It got to go to the Senate. Why was that?
Yeah, that was kind of like civil rights-ish.
Mm-hmm. Little Jim Crow.
Laws. Why did you talk like that?
The laws kind of give me that. They put me in that state. Mm. Politics is kind of... Yeah.
That was very Color Purple-y, Sasha.
Yeah, I was inspired.
Not by that movie.
The original. Mm-hmm. I ain't never seen nothing about the remake.
Oh, did he?
We don't acknowledge it. We don't have to talk about
can't
it.
Believe that.
Taraji pissed.
I can't believe
and
it.
And she
Jesus.
Should be. But you can't guys. You a piece of shit. I wore this shirt for Jasmine, but she pissed me off.
Period.
Mm-hmm. Bye.